Thank you very much for the introduction, Dr. Feeney. So I'm going to present today findings of our study on latent tuberculosis infection in a migrant agricultural community in Baja California, Mexico. And I don't have any disclosures for this presentation. So briefly, I'll just explain a little bit about latent tuberculosis infection. Generally, when someone is exposed to tuberculosis, the tuberculosis bacilli goes into the lungs, and then infiltrates the lung parenchyma. There's an immune reaction to the bacilli, and then a granuloma forms, which usually maintains the tuberculosis bacilli in latent. So that's what we call latent tuberculosis infection. And from that, we know that people who have latent tuberculosis infection, who are otherwise without any symptoms, they have a higher risk of developing active tuberculosis. And it is estimated that within the first 2 years of latent infection, there's about a 5% risk. And after the second years, there's 5%. So there's a 10% risk for the remaining of life once somebody has a latent tuberculosis infection. And in HIV or immunosuppressed individuals, we have that the rates are much higher. So it's about 10% per year. So it's a very high risk for developing tuberculosis. So I'm going to present this. The study was done in the fall of 2008. Was part of a biannual field trip that is done between three universities. One is Universidad Autónoma de Baja California, School of Medicine, UCSD, or University of California, San Diego, School of Medicine, and the School of Public Health from San Diego State University. So twice a year, students, faculty, researchers embark on a journey to San Quintín. The place where we're generally going is called Colonia Lomas de San Ramón, and offer services to the community, like primary care services. They offer education and research. There's some research integrated into the program over these 2 day field trips. So just to give you a brief outline of the colonia that we visit, is a colonia is mostly inhabited by people that come from other parts of Mexico, and I'll show data about that. Many of them come from indigenous ethnicities. They most migrated from southern Mexico, and there's a lot of lack of access to services among this population. So our study aim was to estimate the prevalence of latent tuberculosis infection among residents of Colonia Lomas de San Ramón, and also to study the correlates of tuberculosis infection among residents. And our study, the participants from the study were 150 participants. 100 were recruited from the community. I mean, 50 from the community and 100 from the clinic. And I'll briefly explain the clinic. You know, when we go to this field trip called BIDAI, which I'll explain what the letters mean later, we go to, there's a elementary school called Salvador Diaz Miron, who allows us to use their installations over the weekend when the school is not in session. Between the students, faculty, community members, we set up a clinic, you know, like areas where patients can be seen for general medical problems. Also, now there's even a dentistry, schools from dentistry from UABC and from Rotary International that come and offer basic service for dental care, et cetera. So from the clinic, you know, as patients or people came in to seek services, we recruited 100 from these individuals and 50 from the community. To avoid, having many members from one family once somebody, you know, somebody came, usually people come to the clinic in families. So once they accepted to participate, adults or people over 18 years of age were randomly selected, and we accepted one individual per household. The same in the community. Using Google Maps, we did a mapping, and we set up the set points from where the surveys were going to start in a systematic fashion. And randomly, we would select individuals from the households, adults, to participate. So the survey consisted on a questionnaire on basic demographic data, including place of birth, length of residence at the colonia or this agricultural community, other sites where they lived or visited, and time or reasons for visiting these other sites. We also investigated if they have traveled close to the border or if they had traveled to the U.S. We asked about TB knowledge, general questions. We asked about TB diagnosis, vaccination for Bacillus Calmette-Guérin. And also we had as part of the survey, which we asked about self-reported TB symptoms. And BCG, well, is most of you know, in middle or high countries with high burden of TB, usually there's a recommendation to vaccinate children, you know, usually when they're born, with Bacillus Calmette-Guérin to protect about serious forms of tuberculosis. So together with the survey, we did TB testing for latent TB infection. And, you know, considering the fact that in Mexico, BCG vaccination is universal. Most children get it when they're born or soon after or before the 6 months of being born. There's been many studies showing that the sensitivity and specificity of a tuberculin skin test is affected by having been vaccinated with BCG. So we decided to use another test called QuantiFERON TB Gold in tube, which you know, compared to the TB skin test, this test is a blood test. So the determination of the results are objectively, I mean, they're done measuring levels of interferon gamma. And I'll explain how it's done. Usually we draw, in several tubes, we draw blood, whole blood, with tubes with heparin. Some of the tubes have specific antigens for M. tuberculosis that do not cross-react with BCG. So there's a much higher specificity for this test for detecting tuberculosis. Once we draw the blood, we draw blood with a tube with antigens for TB to see if we can stimulate production of interferon gamma. One tube with no antigens, that's a negative control. We would expect it to be non-reactive. And a positive control to see, for example, if somebody's immunosuppressed and is not responding for that reason. So it has a mitogen that we expect to have interferon liberated by cells. So once the blood is taken, we incubate the blood for 16 to 24 hours, and later is spinned and sent for ELISA to detect levels of gamma interferon released. You know, in this trip, we had small incubators. So after we draw the blood, after the end of the day, we set up the samples in a portable incubator to bring them back to the border, to Tijuana, actually to the General Hospital where they processed, Tijuana General Hospital where they processed the samples. So, 1 minute. Okay, so I'm gonna go a little faster. Okay. So the study procedures were basically we obtained written informed consent. We completed a contact form so we could get back to the participants for the results. We administered the questionnaire, draw blood, explained the results, process how they were going to obtain the results, and we gave them a small non-monetary incentive. And these are just pictures of the students and helping with the survey and the blood drawing. So follow-up, after we left, you know, we went to General Hospital. We left General Hospital in Tijuana, which is a hospital set up to do this kind of testing. We left the samples with them. And then in four weeks, we had the results sent to the investigators, Dr. Garfin and myself, and the other investigators. And then we sent the results to the chief of the TB control program in San Quintin, which was a co-author in this investigation, Dr. Ibarra, who contacted participants who were positive for the test. So in Mexico, the guidelines for detecting if somebody has active TB is doing 3 serial sputum samples. And they usually do staining, like AFB staining. They don't do cultures because of limited resources. And X-rays are also very limited, especially in a rural area. So basically, these are just basic demographic characteristics of the population. You know, one of the interesting observations was that less than 5% of the participants were born in San Quintin, or in the local area, in the colonia, or in the area we did the study. And less than 10% were born in the state of Baja California. Over 75% of the population migrated from Oaxaca, and almost 20% from other sites from Mexico. Occupation, you know, most of the participants were farm workers, about half of them. And about 30% were homemakers, and about 16% had other occupations. So this is the simple questionnaire we use to assess general knowledge about tuberculosis. And in yellow we have the correct answers, and we have the percentage of answers from the population. So we had, for example, only 2 participants who had all the 4 questions correct. We had, for example, the question about if TB could be spread by sharing utensils, like food utensils. Almost all, you know, had that question wrong. And for example, if people believe that TB could be latent or knew about dormant type of tuberculosis, it was, you know, about 30% didn't know, 30% knew, and 30% did not have any answer. Mm-hmm. This is just also, you know, to show migration. This is information of migration in the last year before we did the questionnaire. So about 30% of the population or the participants had gone to a border city, and we defined border cities, any cities within 100 kilometers, which is about 60 miles from the border. This site is about 200 miles from the border. So about 28% had visitors from other border cities. You know, so there was a very high level of migration within this group. For example, patients that crossed the border into the U.S. was about 17% in the last year. Patients who traveled to border cities was 15%. So overall, a lot of relation or contact with people that either crossed to the border or went to border cities, or they themselves had traveled. We also asked about access to healthcare, and we found that about close to 30% did not have access to any healthcare in the last 6 months. About 30% had IMSS. IMSS is a health system that is given to people who work in Mexico. So you have a steady job, you get a government type of insurance called IMSS. There's another type of IMSS, which is an IMSS that is given to people who are very poor, they're very marginalized, that is health services, and they also get incentives to keep their children in school, and you know, to improve development. It's called IMSS Oportunidades. They get cash incentives, and they also get healthcare. But they have to have a very low levels of socioeconomic, so they have to be very poor to be able to be in this program. So about 22% of the population had received services from IMSS Oportunidades. And ICE Salud does the general health system in Mexico for uninsured people. So, you know, in our survey, about 9% of the population had used this type of service in the last 6 months. When we did a multivariate analysis to adjust for independent factors associated with having latent tuberculosis infection, that, by the way, you know, about 40% of the of the participants had a positive test. So 40% had latent TB. They were screened by the health department, and they were found not to have active tuberculosis. So we found that any travel to the U.S. since living in the colonia was associated with latent tuberculosis infection. Drinking unpasteurized milk within the last 6 months was associated about 3.6 adjusted as ratio. And having access to IMSS Oportunidades, which means people who were highly marginalized and highly very poor, they had a higher rate, a higher adjusted odds ratio of latent TB infection. So, well, just to mention a few of the limitations of the study, well, you know, it's a cross-sectional study, so we cannot determine we cannot determine if the latent infection was before, after, during migration, but, you know, but still we did find the association. Another limitation is that tests from quantiferon tests cannot differentiate between latent TB infection and active disease, but our TB symptom survey helped us to differentiate that, and none of the 10 patients who, or participants who had referred the symptoms were shown to have active TB. And our conclusion is that, well, there's a high proportion of persons with latent TB infection in this agricultural setting, which, you know, that this is a, has binational ramifications, since considering their high level of migration to border or even crossing the border, it shows the importance of addressing this issue of latent tuberculosis infection, since we know that most of the TB active TB cases come from a reservoir of latently infected individuals. We also found there was a low level of knowledge about TB. Traveling cross border was associated with latent TB infection. Also, drinking unpasteurized milk, which could be associated with bovine TB, and we know that bovine TB has resistance, genetic resistance to one of the primary TB drugs, which is pyrazinamide, and has worse prognosis than regular TB. And it's been documented in border cities in the U.S. Among Latino population. And also, you know, the fact that a lot of the, there was an association between having access to IMSS Oportunidades and having a latent TB infection suggests the need for increased TB education and screening among this population for this. And, well, I just want to acknowledge, you know, the residents of the colonia, the principal of the school who allows us and supports our activities, faculty from the participating schools, Dr. Ibarra and Angelica Cordova, who went back and gave results and do follow-up with the participants, and the funding agencies, USAID, and National Institute of Drug Abuse, which supported me through a diversity supplement, and by BDIVE, that was funded by Bixby Foundation and Rotary International. Oh, thank you.
So, are there any questions for Dr. Burgos?
Yes? None. So because we did got half follow-up. So, you know, the follow-up was done through us doing smears, serial smears for people who were positive. And also among the 10 people who had symptoms of active TB, they were screened thoroughly by the health department, and they determined to be negative for active TB. Yes, thank you. So none of the participants. Yes?
I apologize if you missed this, but did you exclude people from the study who had previously had tuberculosis? Or were they included? If they reported having had TB in the past?
Okay, so we did not exclude, that was not an exclusion criteria. I would have to go back to the data, but I'm almost certain that none of the participants referred having had active TB in the past. We also asked about past latent TB diagnosis, and it wasn't referred, but yes, thank you. You know, when we did the multivariate analysis, we didn't find a statistical significance with age, but there was when we did the univariate analysis, there was wasn't significant, but it was almost close to 0.1, the probability of being significant. So there was some relation with age and latent TB infection, but it wasn't significant at the end. Yes, thank you. We were surprised. Yes, thank you. We were very surprised because we were expecting that with this test we would have a lower diagnosis. So yes, we were very surprised about this. I mean, there's other studies that have linked migration and TB, so and poverty. So there's a lot of factors that we feel that could be related to the high prevalence. Thank you. Yes?
My question is that you mentioned the one tuberculosis. What was the prevalence in that community? And secondly, are people not educated to pasteurize the milk or heat it or boil it?
Thank you. Thank you for the. That's a very good question. We didn't do, since we only detected latent TB infection, we didn't have the opportunity to differentiate Mycobacterium tuberculosis complex and latent TB, bovine tuberculosis. The reason that a lot of the participants reported about drinking raw milk is because of the agricultural, settings. I mean, is relatively common. Also, there's, a lot of the participants referred ingesting fresh cheese or unpasteurized cheese, which is another thing that has been associated with bovine TB. I mean, for example, in San Diego, there's been studies showing that there's most of the cases that detected with bovine TB come from, Hispanic, or there's a relation with Latino community. So we feel that this could be an issue, but we couldn't determine more because we were not able to, the findings suggest that there might be an association, but we couldn't confirm the association. Thank you. Very well. Thank you very much for your attention.